This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Woods, I've got good news for you. The NBA season opens tomorrow. I know you've been eagerly anticipating months and months. Just every morning I get here and you go, is it NBA season yet?
Almost.
And I go, not yet, Woods.
I can't wait. We should do a bit tomorrow where we pick, who finishes where.
Oh, like prediction. Like prognostication for the NBA season.
Like we did for baseball. Did we ever figure out who had the best?
I did.
Who had the best? Who picked the most accurately for the baseball season?
We did. I know I did.
We did it preseason.
The worst.
You did the worst?
I think
did
the worst.
Yeah. Did he really?
No way. We did division winners.
Now, didn't I have the Tigers making the playoffs? I feel like I had the Tigers making
the
playoffs.
You'd be the one person on the planet.
You had them. Well, it was order in division.
Right.
So you picked them finishing first in the Central.
You did.
So I had them making the playoffs. I was right about that.
That's a really good pick.
Thank you.
Fortunately, doesn't count.
Doesn't count.
Because you picked them first.
Right. That counts as a loss for me, even though astute and insightful observation. Because the Guardians surprised me.
Yeah.
I didn't actually get any credit for that pick.
That's true.
Yeah. I don't know. Paul's methodology here may be, somewhat flawed.
Which happens. We need the Ken Palm analysis of how it went.
Woods and I both correctly picked 10 teams where they would finish in their divisions.
That's pretty good.
Ben picked 9.
That's pretty good, too.
You did much better on the West Coast, Ben. You got 3 correct in the American League and National League West.
Well, I'm more of a West Coast guy.
That's true.
The Central, NL Central, you did not get 1 correct pick.
But again,
NL East did not get 1 correct pick.
Let's go.
AL Central, you got 1 correct pick, and it was the White Sox.
Yes, but I feel like my Tigers pick should be worth something.
It should. I'll give you an extra one.
Any credit at all.
Yeah, you didn't pick just the playoff teams.
I know.
You picked division in order, top to bottom. And we all.
I think tomorrow Woods should predict what the 6 divisions in the NBA are.
Oh, what they are.
Can you even tell me? Like,
I don't
want to
play this game right now. I don't want to play this game.
One of the divisions.
What do you mean?
30 NBA teams. How many can Woods name?
I can name all the teams. I want to know. Do you know what the names of the, like, NL West, NL East, you know that. AFC South, AFC North,
sure.
You know that. What are the NBA divisions called?
The West and the East?
There's no West. There is no East division in the NBA.
What are they?
That's what I'm asking you.
What are you talking about?
There are. In the Western Conference.
Oh, the Western Conference.
Yes, has 3 divisions.
The
You almost got it.
Pacific?
Yes, the Pacific Division.
The Atlantic.
The Atlantic is in the Eastern Conference. Very good. All right, you got the 2.
The Central?
There is. In the East, there is a Central Division.
That makes no sense. In the East, there is a Central Division.
Yes, there is.
The Atlantic?
You already said that one.
The North?
There is no North.
The South?
There is no South.
The Northeast.
There is no Northeast.
The Northwest.
There is a Northwest.
Northwest. Yes. Just give them to me.
To be fair, nobody.
All right. The West is the Pacific, the Southwest, and the Northwest. The East is the Atlantic,
divisions
the Central,
nothing,
and the
though.
Southeast.
They
okay.
literally mean nothing in
they
the
don't.
NBA.
They really don't.
It's just a conference.
There's some geography involved,
sure.
Obviously. But they just want to split up 5 teams in each division, and that's how they did it.
Who's the favorite?
Well, the Celtics are probably. As the returning champions.
Jaylen Brown.
The betting favorite.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jason Tatum.
Jason Tatum, of course, obviously.
You know, the Knicks had a very active offseason with trades, and people are excited about that team. But, you know, you still have guys like...
They just got Karl Anthony Towns.
Giannis coming back with the Milwaukee Brewers. Or Milwaukee Brewers. Milwaukee Bucks. Still got baseball in the brain.
Do you like how the NBA does it, where it's just you have 15 teams on each side? No division champions matter.
Yeah.
It's just
it's
the top eight.
I think that's good.
Baseball.
They got weird with like the in-season tournament, the play-in but all that. But just the way it used to be.
I think if you win
teams.
Your division, you get in, though. Even if you finish like 9th, you would get in if you won your division, but you'd be the last ranked team. It's not like, a wild card team can have 100 wins, but you're still seated below the division winner that won 86 games.
Right.
They don't do that in the NBA.
I kind of like that.
I kind of like it, too.
I do, too.
And I'm down to do a reseed next year. They could. They could.
I would.
They could mix
baseball.
It up in baseball a little bit. Yeah.
I don't know why you wouldn't.
I don't know why you wouldn't either.
Seems, I mean, yes, when you had the way unbalanced schedule, you know, you're not playing nearly as many of the same games. Now that you've got more of a balanced schedule, you could more legitimately kind of compare teams' records and reseed them.
So. Yeah, I like that.
All right, we'll have our full NBA preview. Woods is NBA preview tomorrow.
Right. I mean, if I make you do the mock draft, I should have to do the NBA preview. Yeah. It's
right now,
only fair.
Right now, Paulie's got a Roundel report.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Roundel Report.
Now tuned into the motherfucking greatest.
Welcome to the Roundel Report with Paul Roundel.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Roundel Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a
All right, gentlemen, let's start in the NFL. Very wild scene yesterday in Cleveland, and it just kind of went on throughout the day. Of course, you probably saw Deshaun Watson left the game for Cleveland with an injury, and it took one replay to know, yep, that's an Achilles injury.
Yeah,
and
they have it's always so gnarly because on the slow-mo, there's like
I don't like it.
It's like a guitar string snapping, and it's got this big reverberation. And it's gnarly.
He was seen carted off. He was in tears on the cart, and his season is over. That's been confirmed. It was a season-ending ruptured right Achilles. And then you saw the fans in Cleveland celebrating, which was controversial, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly sparked a lot of conversation.
Myles Garrett talked about it at the podium. Jameis Winston talked about it after the game. And it just kind of turned into this big talking point, celebrating the injury of a guy like Deshaun Watson. We haven't talked about this yet.
Right.
I'm curious what you guys thought.
I thought that the comments after the game from the players,
they kind of have to say what they said, don't they?
Okay, to a certain extent, hey, that's our teammate, and we're pulling for him.
That's a bad spot to be in.
Well, and what the Haslams did by signing Deshaun Watson, after everything that came out, after all of those lawsuits came out, to put the fans in that position.
You gave this guy $250 million.
$250 million. Yeah, and I'm telling you, man, the stories about Deshaun Watson, the lawsuits from those women, none of those guys spoke up about that, right? So you can say, you can give a statement. You don't have to praise this guy. You don't have to praise him as a, quote, model citizen. You don't have to if you're Jameis Winston and you go up there and you say, man, this guy has been hated by everybody. It's been him against the world for his own doing. It's like, where's the responsibility there? You know, I thought it was really, I thought it was really kind of gross how they spoke out about him.
It's never okay to cheer for a player getting hurt.
You don't have to cheer for him getting hurt. You don't have to actually raise your voice and cheer.
This was as close as it's ever been to being okay
enough.
A fan base cheering for one of their own players to get hurt.
Enough.
And it's not just simply the off-the-field stuff and the contract, but it's also what seemed painfully obvious is that there was also a mandate that Kevin Stefanski had to play him.
Correct.
And it's like, how do we get out of this? There's only one way, and that is if he gets hurt. Yeah. And so I understand the at least relief as a fan base you're probably feeling if you're a Cleveland Browns fan, because it was becoming hard to cheer for your own team. And his injury has freed you up a little bit to maybe enjoy your team a little bit more.
Yeah.
And that's on the Browns for even putting their fans in that situation.
Crazy.
But I can understand the emotional
release
of, okay, he's
not.
That's
a weird word.
We don't have to
talking about Deshaun Watson.
We don't have to worry about him at least the rest of this season.
Right.
It's not like he's going to be traded now or ever, but and you're still paying him and you can't really do anything about it.
Two dozen women. sexual misconduct and harassment during massage therapy sessions. $5 million fine. I mean, he should not have been in the league to begin with. And the fact that not only was he in, they didn't sign him on a prove it deal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, there was no.
It was like, no, it's fine.
There were no fail safes.
No,
there were no
fail
like,
saves.
You just thought if anyone.
Worst contract in sports history.
Like,
no
if
right?
someone was ever going to get it, like an absolute guaranteed quarterback deal, Patrick Mahomes would be a great option.
Of course.
Right.
Of course.
Deshaun Watson, worst option possible to give the completely guaranteed, we can't get out of this no matter
yeah,
what.
Yeah, and they
deal.
Traded for him. They traded for him.
And
you know,
then
all
gave,
this
and
stuff.
Then
and then
gave him the deal.
It's just, it's maddening. And you know, I think Adam says, how can you enjoy the team when they're still horrible? You enjoy the team a little bit more because you're used to them being horrible in Cleveland. You're used to that.
They weren't horrible.
But now
last
you don't
year,
have to root for
they
that
weren't horrible
guy.
At all. They have some decent players. They have a decent coach. They're not doomed to be horrible. But Watson was definitely Part not helping.
Yeah.
Not helping.
In more ways than just on the field, certainly. I did not I thought that was so short sighted of Winston and Myles Garrett.
Yeah, Myles Garrett said, we don't boo guys that are injured on the field, especially when the cart comes out. We should be ashamed of ourselves as Browns and as fans to boo anyone and their downfall.
Yeah. Carlos says, we all judge Bauer as well. Look, he was found innocent. No, he was not. He was never found innocent of anything, man. Never. Never. So, again, you put your team in a tough, you put your fans, who you're supposed to be doing it for, in a tough position. You know, by having to root for guys like that. It's we already make a lot of concessions with players and people that we root for and put our heart and soul in. But in that guy's case, man, it's crazy.
Yeah. All right, we'll move on. Beginning of the segment, we had some fun with Basketball Woods.
Mm, he's
big,
right here.
Big NBA fan.
Love it.
It's all tongue-in-cheek. We get that. But you are... You have become an SDSU basketball fan.
I have.
You watched a lot last
a lot.
Season.
More than ever.
And we do have a little bit of news here for the Aztecs as their season gets ready to start here shortly. They had a closed-door scrimmage yesterday against top 25 team in UCLA, who is preseason ranked number 22 in the nation. And the Aztecs were without, like, four...
No Nick Boyd, no Reese Waters, just two of the top players that were not suited up
they,
for
they
this
They had, like, three
scrimmage.
Or four guys that were yeah. not suited up at all, but
any
they
reasoning
still won.
Behind that?
Well, Nick Boyd's still recovering.
Injuries.
He had a boot all summer. He's finally getting it off, and he's supposed to play next time. I forget why Reese Waters wasn't there, but they should both be ready for the start of the season,
good.
Which is good.
Well, the good news is even without them, San Diego State won 72-67. Sophomore B.J. Davis... had 28 points. He went 6-for-7 from 3-point. And then reports were like, Pharaoh Compton's defense is ridiculous. Magoon Guap had a good night as well. So very positive, closed-door scrimmage, no highlights to view. But if you're just reading the box score and what was reported on from people that were there, pretty good start to the year for the Aztecs.
Very interesting that the Aztecs could go into Pauley Pavilion, I believe. And yes, UCLA was playing all their bench warmers and everything, so it's not a real game. So the win-loss doesn't matter. But the fact that they were that competitive against what is expected to be a top 25 team tells me that Brian Dutchers knows what he's doing still, and the Aztecs are going to be pretty good. That this is what I love about college basketball. Remember last year and... Jaden Ledee. Like, oh yeah, you know, he's a good, strong player. You didn't see him being the power forward of the year in college basketball and scoring over 20 points a game, right? Well, B.J. Davis, not a guy I had given much thought to. You know how many points he scored last season? 14.
Wow.
All season.
Total.
He had 28 against the Bruins yesterday in one game. Now, that doesn't mean he's the next Jaden Ledee. But this is how it works with Dutcher's teams especially. You play your role, you learn how to play defense,
and then you get your chance.
When you get your chance,
you shine.
He trusts you.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
And Dutch said, yeah, he didn't really do anything other than he was open and he made his shots. He wasn't forcing anything, but hey, they got him the ball. He was open. He hit his shots. This is what the Aztecs do. And they've done it really well, especially under Brian Dutcher, which makes me think they'll probably do it pretty well this season under Brian Dutcher.
Bro, talk about a team that's just easy to root for. You know, the Aztecs are an easy team to root for with Brian Dutcher at the helm. You don't have to worry about any of the stuff that we were just talking about. Just an easy, easy team to root for.
All right, and then finally, keeping it a little bit sportsy here, but kind of funny and bizarre scene in college football. I'm talking about Arizona State. Now, they are in the Big 12 this year. They are 5-2 overall, 2-2 in conference play.
The best, well, no, Colorado's doing pretty well, too, actually, in the Big 12.
They are 3-1 in conference. Yeah. Arizona State's right in the middle of the pack. There's not 12 teams, actually. It's the Big 16, I guess, but they are right in the middle there. But they have gone three straight games now without a made field goal.
Oh.
The kicking scene has been very rough Devils. And it happened again yesterday. They did not have any field goals. And their coach, Kenny Dillingham, had a post-game news conference. And he had this to say when asked about the kicking woes for the Sun Devils.
You can be aggressive, but just because you convert doesn't guarantee that you make it one possession. So you would hope that you can make, you know, a kick. One of those, but our kicking game's atrocious. So if you can kick and you're at Arizona State, email me, right? We're going to have kicking tryouts on Monday. So bring it on, kicking tryouts Monday. Let's go. Yeah, I'm dead serious. We're going to put it out on our social. We're going to have a kicking tryout on Monday.
This guy's the head coach.
We got to find somebody who can make a field goal. It makes it even harder, like, late in games when it's clearly a kick scenario. That's when it gets really hard.
He looks like Brayden.
It's clearly a kick. Like, you definitely want to take points here. There's no doubt in your mind. And he hadn't had a kick this game. He was kicking good pregame, so I felt good about it. But, you know, it is what it is. Like, we got to do a better job getting him in the better mental state to kick. But at the same token, I got to do a job, and I got to get guys on the field that can perform in those situations as well.
Holy cow.
What's his name?
Kenny Dillingham?
Kenny Dillingham. How old is he? He looks like 26.
14 years old. He's a wunderkind, as they say.
I don't know how old he is.
I mean, you know.
34.
Herm Edwards did not leave that program under a really good situation with every NCAA violation in the book.
No kidding.
In Arizona State with.
Kevin says Arizona State's quarterback is named Sam Leavitt.
So that is true. With an A. Elite Leavitt, but yeah, just Sammy Leavitt. Yeah.
So Ian Hershey is their kicker. He missed from 48 and 41 on their final two drives of the game yesterday. They lost 24-14.
Well, there's got to be like a player on the soccer team or the women's soccer team.
Yeah, 100%.
They probably kick a field goal
now,
for Arizona
Dillingham
State.
Was criticized for those comments like, wow, you really just threw that kid under the bus, your kicker. I mean, he was talking about the kicking game. But it's one guy, and everyone knows that. And he did apologize later. He posted on social media, I would like to apologize. In my post-game press conference, I talked about our kicking game like I do offense and defense. However, the kicking game is always directed at one player. I should not have done that, and I apologize. The team's losses will always 100% fall on myself, but I believe from what I've seen this morning, they're still following through. Open tryouts. If you are a student at ASU and have eligibility and can kick a field goal, you're invited to come try out.
I do apologize. We are still having the tryouts, though, yeah. Just so you know. Trying to think of a position on the tier ones I can call out Pauly and rip openly and then be like, we are still going to have a tryout.
When it goes, kicking is mental. It's like a golf swing. Like, you've got it. And then when you lose it, it's gone. I mean, look at Greg Zuerlein.
Greg the Leg.
Best kickers. Is he Legatron or he was...
He's Greg the Leg.
He's Greg the Leg.
Yeah.
Can't make a kick anymore. It's like seven of his last 12.
Was he also Legatron? Who was Legatron?
Oh, there's... So Justin Tucker is the... He's really
Zuerlein.
He was Legatron. Yeah, Legatron. He's 0-for-1 from long range, 1-for-3 from 40-49, just 4-of-6 from 30-39 this year. And it goes, you know, and it's hard to get it back if you're a kicker who's kind of out of his mental space. So
the mental part of all sports is like 90% of it. It really is.
I mean, you get the yips. The yips are a real thing.
Yips are real.
But I feel like in football, kicker's probably the most likely position to get the yips.
Yes.
And it's got to be one of the toughest to fix. Quarterbacks don't just forget how to throw a football.
Correct.
Like, running backs don't forget to hold on to the football.
Yeah.
They might have struggles, but like, you've seen kickers where like they can't get anywhere close right now. They are just not there.
Yeah, it's more like golf than football when you're a kicker. It's a swing, and when you've got it dialed in, you can't miss. It's like, lose it, you hook one, guess what happens in the next one? You slice it. You just keep trying to correct back and forth, and all of a sudden those goalposts get, just like the fairway gets narrower and narrower, those goalposts get tighter.
Thankless job. being a kid.
Tony made me laugh. He says, you got to be kidding me. They actually are talking about, I saw this this weekend, they're actually talking about narrowing the goalposts in the NFL because kickers have gotten so good for the most part. Oh, like, God. It's such an automatic that they're going to maybe
get the NFL?
Yeah, in the NFL. Oh. Like, just slide them in a little bit. Make that thing a little narrower.
Yeah. All right, go to break.
All right, we'll come back. We have those tickets for Social Distortion to give away because Woods won Take on Woods. So I get an opportunity for the Tier 1s when we come back after a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Don't forget, we are leading up to the Padres' A.J. Preller end-of-season news conference at 11 o'clock this morning. That'll be during the Annie and Elston program, so make sure you stay tuned. They'll kick things out live to A.J.'s question and answer session. Now, occasionally... And I'm not expecting this, but sometimes when you host one of these, it's nice when you have something to announce, to frame, say, you know, the stories. You kind of force the, you know, the writers and their headlines. Oh, here's what A.J. Preller brought to the table, as opposed to just, you know, the questions and answers. You can kind of get things started. Do you think that A.J. Preller will have anything to announce in today's Zoom news conference? And if he did, what would it be?
Kevin Acey's newsletter or story later this afternoon, you know, Padres expected to spend big this offseason, A.J.
Right.
Preller says.
Right.
Like, what will that
Which headline he's not gonna
be?
Say, he's not going to say. And in order to avoid the headlines, A.J. doesn't disclose much as Padres head into offseason of uncertainty, which is probably what you're going to get. You could come to the table with a little bit of news.
It's going to be another offseason of uncertainty, isn't it?
It is. So the only thing that I could think of that they could have gotten done in the last, you know, few days would be a Mike Schilt contract extension.
Yeah, potentially.
To me, that's kind of, you don't have to do it, but it's something that is logical, fairly simple, probably something both parties are interested in.
Sure.
And could reasonably have gotten done in the last couple of days without leaking out to the media yet. Like, okay, yeah, over the weekend, you finish it, you sign your deal, and AJ gets to announce something like that this morning. I'm not anticipating that, but if there was any announcement, probably would be along those lines.
This is just AJ, right? AJ
I believe Preller. It's just AJ.
Okay.
There was a...
He was the only one listed.
Yeah, if Schilt really has a contract extension, he may get his own at some point. Again, it's not urgent. They have him under contract for another year.
Right.
You could do that later in the offseason. You could do it at spring training, whenever. You know, I don't think it's something that is like the clock is ticking on an extension. But if you were looking to have something to announce.
How about a Kyle Higashioka extension?
See, if I'm Kyle, though,
yeah, I'm waiting.
Why am I signing now before I hit free agency? I put up my numbers.
Jackson Merrill extension.
You could have something like that, but that would be pretty big.
Now, Janine says, and I love Janine. She's very blunt. She says, unless he gets the team to apologize for how they rolled over in the last two games, there's nothing I want to hear. I'm still mad.
I don't know that he's going to say.
I don't think so either. My guess is just an educated guess.
We know AJ a little bit.
Yeah.
Don't think he's going to go there.
Here's the thing. The questions that I want to ask A.J. Preller are not meant for a Zoom call. They're not. They're not meant for...
Well, I want to hear them. Can you save them?
Yeah, I'll save them.
You do it in our last segment?
Sure.
I want to know the non-Zoom-friendly questions that you really...
That I really want to know.
That you really want to know, but you know you're not going to get the answers to.
Yep.
And you won't be called on to ask them either.
Correct. It's not the right forum for it.
I get it.
You know?
I get it. But like the true... The real skinny.
Yeah, 100%.
You want the tea.
I don't even necessarily want the tea. I want details. I want details, right. And I'll tell you what they are.
All right, I'm looking forward to that.
Curious.
Before we do that, I have a chance to win some tickets to Social Distortion. The show is sold out Friday, December 20th at the Observatory North Park. Great smaller venue. We got a pair of tickets up for grabs. Be the fourth caller right now at 833-288-0973. You can win those tickets that were not won during Take on Woods today. 833-288-0973. You can have a chance to win some on Take on Woods tomorrow, I believe. But call now for your chance to win from 97.3 The Fan. We'll be right back. Congratulations to David. Wins the Social Distortion tickets. have another pair to give away tomorrow, either in Take on Woods or later in the program, if the gods of Take on Woods see fit to allow a victory or not a victory for Woods tomorrow. You and I, Woods, have a bit of a fantasy football matchup going into tonight's games.
No one cares. Nobody.
Nobody cares?
No.
I do.
I don't even care.
I do.
And I'm playing you. Nobody
I know.
Cares.
We're separated by 3 points.
Yeah.
You've got Zay Flowers
Love
of
Zay
the
Flowers.
Ravens. I've got Marvin Harrison Jr.
No one cares.
Of the Cardinals. They're not playing
against...
He's
still just going.
He's just
going to
go.
They're not playing against each other. We actually have two Monday Night Football games. Now, were we carrying one of them here, Paulie?
We are. We have the...
Ravens and the Bucks. That's the main game
at
5:15. That's the good one.
That's a good one.
That's the one that's on ABC and ESPN. And then there's the Chargers Cardinals game, which is only on ESPN Plus.
Right.
So you need the Disney bundle if you're going to get a chance to watch that game.
Okay.
So those are your two options tonight. Double the Monday Night Football.
And, I'm going to a concert tonight.
Are you?
I am.
Really?
Stepping out on a Monday. It's insane behavior on my part.
And you haven't even told everybody. You're also stepping out on Wednesday this week.
Yeah, I'm going to Disneyland. My kids are on fall break,
yes.
Which is a bit of a...
After they got through the old half days last week,
yes.
Now they have the 0 days this week.
Yeah, just getting parents ready. We're gonna mildly inconvenience you this week, and then we're gonna really inconvenience
you. Monday night concert.
Yeah, Belly Up, band called Not a Surf. We play them on our bumper music club. Blizzard of 77. You know that song.
Blizzard of 77.
We play it on the. We play it.
I was only two during the Blizzard of 77.
That's what's I. So I've already done the recon, right? So I looked at there what time they come on. I'm gonna time it out perfectly. They lead off with one of my favorite songs, and their seventh song is my favorite song.
And then you can leave.
And then I can leave. So I'm probably going to go 1 through 7 tonight.
So
I figure I'll be back. Assuming
songs average about 5 minutes, then you really only are going to be there for 35 minutes.
It's a little longer.
Okay.
A little longer. But I think I'll be home in bed, ready to go to sleep by 10, which is fine. Which is 9:30.
What style of music is this?
We play it all the time.
Well, I just don't know which one it is.
It's like...
Did they sing like, in the blizzard of 77?
You just sang it.
I did.
Yeah, that's the song. Yes, they sing and they play instruments and stuff.
Yeah, but what style?
Rock and roll? Yeah.
Paulie's looking for it. And they're tonight on a Monday.
On a Monday.
Not necessarily the prime night of the week for... headliners.
Well, we're San Diego. That's what we get. We get Mondays, yeah. Tuesdays,
probably in LA this
Wednesdays.
Weekend.
Yeah,
this past
yeah.
Weekend is my guess.
Playing the Will Turn on Friday and Saturday, I'm sure. But hey, listen, this is the lot we've been given here in San Diego. But somebody wants to know, what is fall break? That is a break during school where they just send your kids home from school.
We talked about this.
And you have to find something to do with them.
And
then later, tripping in 7-Eleven.
Yeah, we know this one. They're such a good band, such a tight band, friendly dudes too. So I'm excited to go see them tonight. But again, I'm doing an hour. I'm doing 45 minutes max. And as soon as they play one of my favorite songs, I'm probably going to walk out the door.
We talked about fall break last week.
Mm-hmm.
It's because school starts so early now, like in mid-August, they needed to make up those days because you don't go to school more days than you used to, even though you start earlier. So they just give them more time off during the year, including a week off in October called fall break.
And
it's
kind
of the opposite of spring break, which they also get.
Well, the thing is like I can't decide. Do I want them home? Because I was ready for those dudes to start school. Being a morning show host is a little different. It's not, I don't get to go work, come home at 6. Hey, how we doing? Good to see you. All right, good night. Like, at 10:30, I'm full duty all day, every day during the summer. And so, which is great. I mean, I love spending time with my kids, but also you're like, all right, I'm ready to get you back in school. Let's get back on our modes here. And now with this break, you gotta find something for them to do every single day. So,
you're going to the concert with them tonight.
I'm going solo tonight.
Oh, okay.
I'll be throwing batting practice in about 50 minutes, by the way, in the middle of the street, I'm sure.
And then you're handing them off
and then,
at some point.
Yeah, tonight.
So just by yourself to the concert.
Yeah, just going to go and watch 7 songs.
Is general admission?
Yeah, it's Belly Up. Yeah. So,
well, you can get the balcony
I'm
tickets.
Not sitting in the balcony, for the love of God. It's Monday night.
I like sitting in the balcony.
Well, I do too, but it's you know. I get it. Not every district has a fall break, but they have one. And we're scrambling furiously.
I promise
furiously.
You that your kids go to school the exact same number of days
you
that all other kids
that.
In California
I'm not sure.
go.
I'm not it's sure. I feel like they get mandated. A lot of no. I feel like they get a lot of breaks.
Now they may start later, earlier, whatever. But ultimately, they'll go the same number of days.
You say that, but I'm just not sure.
I'm pretty sure that's how it works.
I'm still blown away because I'm very late. My wife makes her own schedule in real estate, and I have this, and I'm off early. So it's no problem for me. None. I'm never inconvenienced.
You say she makes her own schedule, but in real estate, they have some pretty hard and fast, like
she has,
open houses on the weekends.
She has partners that can handle things on the week. During the week, how does somebody that works at, you know, Geico.
What does she do during the week? Because not that many people are house hunting during the week. It's a lot of things that are done on the weekends.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there's some, but it's probably pretty rare.
Well, you have to go to, some people
set
want
up
to set up things and, and deal with clients. And
paperwork, obviously, is probably big.
But my question is, how does somebody that does like a 9-to-5, what do they do? What do they do this week where their kids are like, I'm home, I'm 7, I'm
they
home.
They have to use their vacation
this week. I guess. A lot of people are taking trips, you know, and they go on family trips. I did not do that. We are taking Wednesday off. We're taking the kids to Disneyland.
Enterprising people will set up camps for this week.
Yeah,
where
smart.
You can put your basically kids in at the time they'd be in school, and you just send them off to camp.
Yeah.
During the week.
It's tough, dude. It's tough. Yeah. I really sympathize for those people that don't have the type of gigs that we do. Cousin Nader says, we stress out during that. How do you break away every single day? So, I'll be going home to throw BP.
All right. Woods has the real questions that he knows that he can't ask AJ Preller coming up at 11 o'clock.
Well, you tell me if I can ask.
All right. We'll get to that right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. This segment of Ben and Woods brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Buffalo Wild Wings is football B-dubs. Kicking off football season with two limited time sauces. Try their new Buffalo Bacon Sauce for bold notes of smoky bacon, or get the fan favorite hot barbecue before it's gone. Try them at your local B-dubs or order now for takeout and delivery with Buffalo Wild Wings Go. Do you have the question, what age can you start leaving your kids just at home on their own?
That's a good question.
Yours are much too young.
Much too.
6 and 4. That's not going to work.
No.
I see a lot of 12, 13.
Probably 10, 11, 12.
I was like 10.
Somewhere in that.
10, 11?
Yeah.
I
mean,
I think,
you know, when you get to like 10 or 11, an hour, like I have to go to the grocery store. And you know what? You don't have to come with me.
My mom worked till 5 o'clock every
day. Mine did too.
So
both mine.
When I got out of school at 2:30 or 3 o'clock, whatever it was.
Take the bus home.
Yeah. All right. I'd get a ride with somebody else's mom or whatever. They'd drop me off. And then it's like, okay, you're on your own for 2 hours.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a little bit different than all day.
Yeah. All day.
Summer.
I'd say a little older.
Like summer, you got to be 10, 11, or probably 11 or 12. You got to be mobile too. You have, you know, ride a bike or whatever, like so that you can go do stuff. But it's
plus, I was by myself, so that was a little bit different than like when Bo's 11 and Taylor's still only 8.
Right.
Like Bo by himself at 11 is one thing.
He's got that watch.
Watching 8-year-old Taylor would be a little bit different.
Bo came in yesterday. Goes, Dad, Taylor's lighting things on fire, and I go, excuse me. So I run in. I'm looking for him. And I go, what are you talking about? And I'm looking around, and I'm like, he doesn't really use a lighter, I don't think. And I'm like, Bo, what are you talking about? Hannah had lit a candle.
Right.
And apparently homeboy was going up putting stuff in it. And I lit him up, dude. Lit him up. He doesn't know. He's 3. You know, they don't know the power.
Fascinating.
Of,
it's fascinating.
Maybe wait until they're like 17, 14.
Maybe never for either of those kids. But, well, thank God, Bo's very responsible. So he came in and ratted him out. And I'm like, you know what? Sometimes you should snitch on your brother.
You never want to be a tattletale except when your brother is
could murder everyone in the house. Yeah.
And then really, you need to be as fast of a tattletale as possible.
There's no dull moments at my home. None whatsoever. Just never a dull moment.
Maybe we just don't have unattended candles around the house.
It's just one of those things. You light a candle. Maybe it's got to be out of their reach. I don't know. I don't know how my wife loves candles. Whose wives don't like candles? You know, like, I just didn't think he would be putting things in it to try to set on fire. But I guess I was wrong. You learn something new every single day.
You keep the batteries up to date and your smoke detectors, hopefully.
Yes. Okay, and I mean, you got to remember when we were kids, too, like, I was a little bit of a pyro, as I think a lot of kids are. Were you not?
Well,
you lit lighters and stuff when you saw them?
No, I still can't even light a lighter.
Oh, my God.
I'm pretty good at it. Now, did I try to light something with a magnifying glass?
Of course you did.
And hold it there forever and nothing ever happened.
Nothing happened.
Nothing ever happened.
Yeah, man. So that was a little nerve-wracking yesterday, but holy cow. So anyway, back to the A.J. Preller. That's what I'm going to be doing at 11. I'm going to be sitting in my office watching A.J. Preller. And I don't know. I think my main question for him would be, how bad did that suck for you? I had when the game ended, I remember I walked in and I was like washing some dishes because I was so mad. I was like, had to fill the nervous energy and I was so disappointed. And I was washing dishes and I thought, when does AJ Preller get back to the grind trying to get ready for next season? How long did you take for yourself to get back to, oh my God, I got to do this again. You know, like that's a genuine thing.
Yeah, as much as he'll always say that, yeah, he believes in every team.
Right, right.
They know.
The real story.
He knows. He knows that this was his best chance to win a World Series.
To this point.
To this point, yeah. Is the most pieces he's ever had coming together in the best possible way. This was the best chance. So it's got to hurt more than any of these other seasons.
It's got to. At the end of the day, they've all been disappointing. Every single one of them. You know, in your whole tenure, they've all been disappointing because you didn't win a World Series. So by law, it's disappointing.
I think maybe if I ask one, and I may ask this, is, you know, what, as you look back, what, if anything, was missing from the equation?
That's the thing.
Because I think that's a tough one. Like,
it's very tough.
What was missing from the equation?
I saw somebody in the chat earlier say, "Well, we really got to focus on the offense this offseason." I'm like,
you mean the one that was
best offense in baseball?
Are you going to hold his feet to the fire?
About the 24 innings, I mean, it's just staggering, and it just makes no sense. And I wish there was something you could point to. It'd be so easy to look at it and say, well, clearly you just didn't have the arms. You did. I mean, I know Joe getting hurt was tough. It threw us it forced Mike Schilt to make an interesting decision, you know, in starting Dylan Cease. Still liked the decision. Nope, still no problem with it. Just didn't work out. But I look at it and go, no, like you have as many arms as the Yankees do. You had as many arms as the Dodgers do. Okay? Was the offense as prolific as maybe the Dodgers or Yankees are? Probably not. Maybe that is something you could focus on, more power or something like that. But they didn't get any of that power from Giancarlo in the regular season. They didn't get any of that power from Kike Hernandez in the regular season. You know, I mean, it's what do you really point to and say we need to hone in on that?
Honestly, whoever wins the World Series actually probably had more regular season question marks than the Padres.
See, now Kevin's in here saying our offense was bang or bust. No, it was not feast or famine this year. It was not. That's 23. That was 14 runs, one run. 12 runs, no runs. I mean, that was feast or famine. These guys could hit this year. So the fact that they didn't
get shut out after the first game of the second half until the last games of the season.
Yeah, maybe Clayton nails it. Bunting. We're going to work on our bunting. You and Steve and Coronado.
Yeah. I think the questions that I know are not going to be answered, so might as well not even ask them.
How much do you have to spend?
What's the payroll going to be like for next season? You know, what players are you planning to offer arbitration to?
Can you at least frame it in a way that you might get some sort of an answer? Like, you're already, according to the estimates, over.
I've been trying for years, Paulie. It's a losing proposition.
But going back to what we talked about in our 7 o'clock hour, we're talking about the payroll numbers and the UT estimates that you might have saw over the weekend. It says 198, just under $200 million, but it's really more like 243, and they're already above the luxury tax threshold. So I think that's a more than fair question where you might be able to get something out of him. Like, how does that impact your offseason?
Nope. You will get nothing. That's my prediction. You will get nothing other than mumbled nothings on that question if anyone asks it. No, we'll evaluate as a team where we stand, and, you know, we'll have a lot of options that we can look at, you know, this offseason.
Yeah, how active do you plan on being in the free agent market this year?
Different plans and different directions that we may go in this offseason in terms of player acquisition. And, you know, we're always looking, you know, always looking at different trades and moves that we can make in this offseason. And, yeah, that will be a big zero answer to that question. I will predict that now. But I think your question, like, I'd love to hear. How much did that one sting?
Yeah, how much did it hurt?
Compared to all the other disappointments, that one had to be bad.
How long till you get back on the horse? A week? Is it 3 days? Is it 24 hours?
He's already back on his horse.
Oh, no, after it was over. Yeah. Tough one, man.
All right, Annie and Alston will have that news conference for you coming up at 11 o'clock. Until then, we will talk to you tomorrow at 6. For Paulie Reindl, for Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Have a great rest of your Monday from all of us here at 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.